We are in the studio with members of the Blue Dogs, Bobby Houck, Hank Futch, and Dan Hood. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on, Richard?
Welcome back to Charleston Radio.
I know, isn't it? There's something really familiar about having you guys in the studio to do something
it's
like this.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Good thing we really don't look any different.
Well, damn the non-visual medium. You can't see what's happening here. But you will be able to see these guys at the Charleston Music Hall. And that show is coming up on Sunday, December the 29th. It is the 7th annual charity event for the pediatric cancer in the MUSC Children's Hospital. And it's the 31st anniversary celebration of the Blue Dogs. 31 years. Wait. When you guys first started out, way back when in the 20th century, could you have possibly fathomed that you'd still be playing music together 3 decades later?
You know?
Not too much of a stretch. Not too much. We love it too much if you're doing anything else.
Well,
really.
You know, because we grew up together in Florence. As most people, I think, know that. We were in Cub Scouts together. And then we kind of went our separate schools and then sort of reunited when Hank came to the school where I had been. I'd actually left to go off to prep school, but still we were still in, all of a sudden we were kind of reunited a little bit, and Hank was playing. And so really way before there was the Blue Dogs, we were just playing at parties.
He was just gigging, having a good time.
At home. We were just playing at parties.
Okay, maybe the question is, could you have fathomed that you'd be doing it almost for a living?
Right, three plus decades.
So, later. I mean, I think that's the key to it, though, is that we did it, you know, for fun and a natural extension of just
we
our
keep
friends.
Thinking that maybe we can do this for a living 31 years later.
Well, that leads me to, and I'm honestly want to know your guys' feelings about this. I remember there was a time, let's say in the 90s, where it felt like you were on the cusp of following in the footsteps of that Hootie band and some of the other stuff, that sort of that era. And I remember that because your CDs, Halos and Goodbyes, loved that CD. And it felt like that was the window. And I'm just wondering, I mean, what's your feelings over the fact that it didn't transpire that you guys are touring the world and the Blue Dogs have become huge? You guys are so well known here in town and across the Southeast, really. Right. But I'm just wondering, just reflecting on it now, what your feelings are.
I always say that we've had more successes than a lot of national bands that are touring. We have a real story. We've done, you know, we've played a lot of really neat events, played the White House for the Bushes. You know, we've done and played, you know, a bunch of, shared the stage with some of the best. You know, so
We really have. We got to meet. A lot of musicians that, you know, that are our heroes. And in fact, one of them is going to be playing with us coming up on the 29th, Jerry Douglas.
Jerry Douglas is awesome.
14-time Grammy Award winner, dobro player, and that's a bluegrass instrument for those that don't know. But he, just go to YouTube and look up Jerry Douglas. Yeah. It goes on forever and ever, and he's playing with everybody that you can think of. It's just, you look over. I mean, he was just on the CMA Awards a couple weeks ago, backing up Lady Antebellum and Halsey. And Dolly Parton introducing them made mention of him because he's so well known. He's generally known as the best that's ever played that instrument. And so that's the kind of thing that we've gotten to do. When Hank says success, I mean, I feel like that's success. Just the fact that he's coming to hang out with us. We're like going, God, man, it's so exciting. We got Jerry Hogs.
Well, there will be two hugely starstruck on that stage with Jerry Douglas.
Well, let me ask you, because are there some memories, some things that jump out when I bring that up? I mean, first thing you just said was playing the White House. Yeah. That's a pretty good gig. Yeah. I mean, first of all, tell us how that transpired.
His nephew was a fan, and they got married at the White House. So it was at his nephew's wedding. We didn't know that until
the Blue Dogs
was
a wedding
booked.
Band.
We're a wedding band. We're a
fan. Right.
Absolutely. We can play anytime, anywhere.
Are there gigs or concerts or moments or meeting people like Jerry Douglas or others that you just jump
say,
out?
I will say one of the funnest moments about this show was when Bill Murray actually showed up.
At the music hall.
And Dad was doing, Papa Futch was doing Homegrown Tomatoes. And Ed came to the end of the show and Dad had some props. He had two actual tomatoes in his hand, and Bill Murray came running out of the audience right at the end and said, "Throw them to me, Papa." And Dad threw him the first one as we were finishing up the song, and he kind of tossed it over to someone over in the crowd. And Dad, as we were finished in the very end, Dad took the last tomato, gave it to Bill Murray, and Bill turned around and threw it up in the balcony. We've heard from people that said that, yeah, we were sitting there, but we really didn't know what was going on. And we just see this tomato flying up past our head, you know. So, but that's just a priceless moment, you know, that everybody loves Bill Murray, and he was there.
Everybody loves Papa Pudge too.
Now I was thinking about, we've been talking about, you know, back in the day when you were in radio here, and we can mention 96
Wave, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So 96 Wave, I mean, how exciting it was to be here in 96, 97, when that station was, you know, just rolling.
That was a great time in Charleston, period.
Yeah, just so the timing of that, that was as exciting as anything, because you had the Music Farm, you know, that had started, and Carter and Kevin, and you know, the Windjammer was happening too. Hootie had gotten, you know, had gotten big, but then there was this whole thing with 96 Wave being kind of, as you said, a tastemaker for Americana, which was really being created. And so the Sunvolt, Wilco, you know, sort of era of stuff.
From Uncle Tupelo. We'll start with the original there, Uncle Tupi.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of my favorite memories is that 96 Wave Fest when it was the only gig that Sunvolt and Wilco ever played together.
Mm-hmm.
David Byrne.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, Cowboy Mouth, Jump Little Children, Blue Mountain, Cracker.
Ben Folds
5.
Yeah. We actually just talked to Driving and Crying and Kevin Kenny when they were in town, and Kevin reminded us of the time.
He was there.
They were there with Big Head Todd and the Monsters and Cracker. And all that stuff. Kevin reminded us of the time that he came up to the studio at Wave and brought his bong with him. And I was like, I'm glad you remember that, Kevin. I had forgotten about that completely. I don't know why, but that's pretty calm, tame
compared to what the stories I hear about 96.
There was a time, but that was a great time in Charleston, period, the 90s. And that's one of the things I love about being back on the radio is bringing back to the Lowcountry some of that vibe that really existed then, and being relevant locally, because there's so much stuff going on here in town.
That's right.
And even though, you know, you get married and have kids and families and stuff like that, you still have it in you, that time. And it's, you know, even though we've gotten older, you know, it doesn't mean that we didn't have a lot of fun then and we can't still have a lot of fun now.
Yeah, so, you know what? There's actually a lot of the younger people out there listening know that there's actually a bigger music scene now than there was then.
It's from
the studios and the producers that are here that are putting out music to the, you know, just unbelievable number of bands playing and doing creative stuff. And so I think you'd be dead on if you were to get back into the local music game a little bit more, you know, if you could. I think you'd have a whole lot
to choose from. What are the Blue Dogs up to nowadays, man?
You know, we
actually rehearsed yesterday.
Well, yeah, we rehearsed.
This is a surprise. We actually rehearsed.
You know, it's been a while since we put out new music, and it's we've been trying to do it for years. And of course, when we did that full time run from about 96 to about 2008.
Yep.
And you know, Hank had gotten married. I got married shortly after. Greg had been married. I mean, it was, you know, you do that, you have kids, it does. Telling you kids out there, it does change your life.
Listen to your elders there, people.
It can't not change your life. And I think that combined with the fact that we had busted our, you know, buns for 12 years traveling, you know, we stopped counting the miles after a million. So we were probably 1.5 million maybe in 12 years. And, you know, we put 9 records out from 91 to 2006. Couple of DVD projects. Actually, that was 2008. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of burnout there, maybe, probably. But I think now it's just about finding the time to do it. But we keep saying, we've been saying for 10 years we're going to do a new record. We're just trying to figure out how to do that.
All right, well, now that I'm back on the radio, you guys go ahead and do a new record, and we'll make sure we talk all about right, it and play a little bit of it here. Now, and you guys recruit people. I mean, Greg's been there forever, too.
Yeah.
He came with the furniture.
Yeah.
But people like Charlie Thompson on pedal steel, and then Dan Hood, who's sitting in here with us
Dan
as well.
From Charlotte. So. Excellent. Yeah, Dan's been with us now for several years.
5 years.
5 years. You know, Travis Allison from the Travis Allison Band, who's local. He's, you know, he sits in with us a lot these days. You know, we do have kind of a, you know, we have a lot of our our former band members that still come back and play.
Sure.
Well, I don't think there's anybody that we don't, who's been in the band at some point that we are not, you know, seeing, talking to, or, you know, maybe playing with.
Well, that's just is kind of indicative of the fact that everybody loves the Blue Dogs here in town. Even people who actually worked with the Blue Dogs.
People actually know us.
All right, so now let's talk about the show, because it is the seventh year that you guys have done this for pediatric cancer in the MUSC Children's Hospital. And you know, we had Charles Carmody here on the program. He's such a great guy. Venue is the venue now here in the Low Country.
I know. It was sitting there for so long unused.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to use it because it was too expensive or whatever it was. And
the only ones who used it was Serenade. Remember that?
Right.
It was like
Serenade.
It felt a little bit like Myrtle Beach. You know? and then Charles and those guys come in, and they have turned that place into a vital live music venue here in town.
Yep. And I think Ricky Skaggs doing the live record there was a big step.
Yep.
Because
that was live from the Charleston Music Hall, and that was kind of like, people were like, "Where is that? Yep. That place downtown."
Just what Charleston needs. Another something else to put him on the map.
Right. I know. It's a great place to be. We've seen how much has changed out in the last 25 years. But what was the origins of this concert for you guys to do this for children's cancer, the Children's Hospital and pediatric cancer?
Yeah, well, we've been trying for years to try and just, you know, have some kind of show or festival, or trying to find some event, some annual event. And we had at the time, so we were actually in our 25th anniversary, like, we need to do something. We need to have a show. So
our 25th is going to go by and we're not going to do anything. Right. It's crazy.
Yeah. So we did the 25th and then got some sponsors.
And it was a fantastic night. It was so just to show you how kind of lucky we were with that show. So Edwin McCain was available, and you know, Edwin is very extremely generous guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drives down, plays the show, drives home. I mean, he's does that. He's done that before for other things too. But we knew he was coming. We couldn't announce it. We booked Radney Foster, who we'd done some co-writing with on Halos and Goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he basically travel expense money, you know, but he came. So we knew he was coming. But Darius and the Hootie guys were in town to play a private event of some type. So we'd hoped that maybe Darius would come. But, you know, you're not sure if that's ever going to happen until it happens. But the other guys, I didn't know they were even in town, but apparently they were in town. So not only did Darius show, but the rest of the guys.
So when you started this the first time at the music hall, we're going to do a show and we'll see if we can get some people to show up.
Right.
But that was not necessarily the theme. I mean, because
was our 25th anniversary concert.
The last waltz when I see you guys.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's exactly what we were going for. Okay. That's what we were going for. Not that it was the end. But I've loved that. Everybody loves that movie.
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about it for years. Like, that's, the beginning of the end of the end of the beginning. but the idea, I love what they do, because they play one of their songs and then they bring out Van Morrison.
Right.
And they play another one of their songs. Then they bring out Neil Young. And in some cases, they're playing Neil Young's song, you know. And I think in the case of all of The Last Waltz, I think they always played the guest's song. But we actually asked some people, we asked Darius to sing Isabel, and he actually learned it. And I think he learned it mostly that night backstage. He was literally sitting backstage with earphones on, listening to that song, and came out and just nailed it.
Well, I mean, that's,
as you can imagine.
So I was just wondering if the origins of the concert was like it has evolved into, where you have, I mean, you've got a lot of people on stage and a rotating cast of characters that come on. I mean, I didn't know if that was how it started or if that's sort of how it evolved.
Yeah, again, Last Waltz, we decided we were going to be the band and we were going to back up all the guests. So that was the thing, wanting to do that. And so that means you have to rehearse and learn songs. You have to do it right. You have to do it the way the artist wants to do it, and without really spending much time with them. So, but the first time was all for fun, but you mentioned Carmody. So that night, Charles Carmody said, "Y'all have got to do this every year. This done deal every year, same time, you got the perfect time of the year, boom." And then I think not long after that, Hank and I talked about, we've got some friends who have not only been through cancer, some other people right close by here.
Right. Yes. 18 year survivor myself.
So, and then, right. Yeah, exactly. So. But we had a really good friend who had a son with cancer who was diagnosed when he was 8, and happy to say he made it. He's still alive.
Awesome.
And so we had done a few things for MUSC, but anyway, pediatric cancer always seemed to be the thing that hit home mostly for us. And but we just decided that we had to do a charity element of it. We
sure.
We wanted to do it and have fun and have people come and try to sell out a show.
But anytime you can have a great time for a great cause, yeah. then it's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And Hank, kind of like, and speaking specifically, Hank knew my wife. I mean, yes, up there in McClellanville and the good people of the village of McClellanville and stuff. So that cancer has touched so many. But then this time of year, and then, you know, you go to some place like the Atrium at the Children's Hospital and you see those kids up there. I mean, it's powerful. Oh, yeah. And so to be able to make a difference. And from where you started now, you guys are, about $500,000 that you've raised over the years?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Our goal is surpassed that.
Hopefully. Yeah, we're allegedly somewhere in the 400 and something thousand range. And but I'm glad you pointed that out, because it would not be, it's not like we're raising it, it's our sponsors.
All right, go ahead and tell us who.
That are really doing it. So, first of all, we've actually had a relationship with the Tito's Vodka people since before it was available in South Carolina.
Well, I have too, but it's just privately with me in the bottle. But that's a different thing.
Oh, I have a strong relationship. Yeah. No, this is true. This is true. The guy that I went to high school with went to UT in Austin and was friends with Tito Beverage before he created vodka. He actually tried to create a bourbon first. And it didn't pan out or whatever. And he came across this idea of doing a vodka. And sometime in 2000, we were traveling in Texas a lot in 2002, 3, 4, 5. And when we went to Austin, we would see my buddy Brian every time. And he brought us a jar, literally like a mason jar. Like moonshine. And he said, check this out. This is my buddy that's been trying to make liquor. And it's, you know, 6 times distilled, whatever the thing about it, it's gluten-free, whatever it was. And, you know, just, I remember us drinking it, but not really being, you know, okay, that's cool. And that became Tito's Vodka. So, man, literally.
Now, see, you have burned that on my brain now. So the next time I have Tito's, I'm like, to the Blue Dog.
Well, one of the things we did early on is we, even before, literally before it was available in South Carolina, I think it was available in North Carolina, but he gave us like a banner and stuff that we would hang up at the shows. Nobody knew what Tito's was at that time. So it was kind of cool being on the front edge of that. But anyway, they have been our biggest sponsor every year. Thanks to our friend, but also the local, want to give a shout out to the local, to the state reps for Tito's and the local reps, because they're the ones that also say, they're the ones that come. And I think they've had a really, really good time every year. And I think they report back to the home office that, you know, this is a good thing. It's a good charity.
Excellent, excellent.
They continue to do more. But then this year, you know, McLeod Law Group, Mullins McLeod, has been generous, has been with us now 3 or 4 years. We've got Johnson & Johnson Insurance this year, Mashburn Construction.
First Reliance Bank's
coming on this year, that's right.
Well, I mean, they're a part of the cause and part of the battle and the fight there that you guys are now on the front lines of every year, doing this as an annual event. So that means we can plan on seeing y'all again next year and so on and so forth.
Okay. Right. Well, as sponsoring, we also do a live fundraising, you know, event during the show, like real time. So that's, you know, everybody that attends the show, they certainly contribute as well, you know, to the funds raised.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And so we encourage people to dig deep. And are there still tickets available for the show?
There are okay. Right now. We've sold a lot.
Not after this conversation, they will be. But.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? We sold a bunch last week. So really, you know, we announced really early. We probably won't announce this early next year, but we announced around July 4th, and there's a big push at the beginning, and then it kind of, trails off, and then it starts happening again after Labor Day, and it trails off, and then after Thanksgiving, it's like, you know.
Well, I mean, it's become an annual tradition for you guys and for everybody here in the Lowcountry and for the Children's Hospital. So the Rick Danko and Robbie Robertson of the Blue Dogs. And Dan, we're gonna make you Garth Hudson, because he can play anything.
That's right. And he's still alive.
So you know, it just seeing what it has become And knowing how much fun you guys have in doing this, just on a personal note, y'all have a blast doing it. And then to know that by doing all this and having that much fun, it makes such a huge difference. I mean, that's another win-win right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Somebody asked us recently, like, are y'all going to take a break to do this? And I was like, because it's exhausting.
Sure. I'll
admit, like, sometimes you kind of look and you go, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool, like, just to, like, do Christmas and then, like, go to, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
Have a vacation.
Right.
And what happens with us is we do Christmas and, like, the day after Christmas, and then it starts, like, on the 27th, we're going to be loading into rehearse. We're going to be rehearsing all day Saturday the 28th. We'll be waking up Sunday morning, loading in, doing sound check, doing another little mini rehearsal with some of the guests that won't arrive until that day. So,
and then
I'm lucky if my voice, usually I don't have a blowout with my voice. I'm lucky that way, but I've had a blowout on my voice twice at this event.
Okay.
Where I show up the morning of and I'm going.
And I know that the night before that Jump Little Children's doing a little something there in the building as well.
They are.
So, yeah. I mean, but it just goes to show you about the music scene here in Charleston. You know?
Right.
And before I get you guys to play a song or two or whatever y'all want to do, what does 2020 hold for the Blue Dogs? I'm going to put you on the spot. I know if y'all had that meeting yet.
Well, definitely some new songs.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wrote a new song recently. Tell them about the song that you wrote.
I wrote a. Got a friend, John Snow, whose wife has cancer, and he asked me years ago to write a song for her for their anniversary, and I was like, buddy, I was like, I'm trying to do that, but it just takes time. And so 2 years later, I finally wrote the song. A song called Big Dreamer. That's what she calls him, Big Dreamer. And anyway, it's a song, it's a celebration of life for them and their family. And, I think they bought the entire balcony, of the music hall, for this year's show. So, we're going to play it for them.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I can't wait. On a personal note, you know, my story with my wife,
I really
look forward to hearing that. Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's, it'll be a, you know, definitely an honor to them. So, but we're also working on some other songs,
Yeah,
we just need to.
We have a few, and you know, it's funny. We've got a couple other projects. You know, we've been talking about a kids record forever. We're one of those. I mean, I know every band seems to have a kids record, and we were relatively late in having kids. You know, mine are 8 and 10, so it's not like they're still in that era where.
How about good, you, funny how, kids Hank? Song. How are the kids?
16 and 13.
Okay, man, mine's 17. Y'all really made me feel old now. Thanks, I appreciate it.
But, you know, so we're one of the few bands too who, like, our first album had like 3 or 4 kids songs on it. Doggy on the Roof.
Right.
And Creatures in My House. We had these funny songs from our original member, Buck Bradbury, who just wrote these funny things. And that was just a part of our live show back then. So those songs are the basis of what we've got. We've got about 16 or 17 kids songs that we can put on a record. We've got about 12 years ago, maybe even longer than that, we went into a studio and tracked about 5 or 6 Christmas songs, and we've never finished that. And then there's the whole idea of doing some new, you know, original music. So, and we've got a few songs sitting around that haven't seen the light of day.
So the Blue Dog Basement tapes and new material and stuff. I mean, just having fun.
Right.
It really. And can, before I get you guys to play something, can you drop some more names that you're allowed to, that might be there on December the 29th?
Yeah, so the ones that we've announced, so not only Jerry Douglas, but Greg Humphreys, who is the leader of Dylan Fence, that a lot of people know, and also Hobex, after Dylan Fence kind of stopped playing, and Hobex started and played more in the late 90s or into the 2000s. And Greg is up in New York now. He's from North Carolina, but he's up in New York, and he has a Greg Humphreys Electric Trio. So anyway, he's continued to be full-time music, writing songs all the time, so, and he's an incredible guitar player, as you know. So, Greg Humphreys, and then a couple of Spartanburg musicians who are, you know, somewhat legendary in their own right. David Ezell, lived in Charleston for a long time.
At Sin City.
David Ezell, who's just a great songwriter, a great singer. And then someone who does a good bit of singing with David, but also sort of had a great career in her own right, is Fasu Starling McLean, And Fassou is, it's spelled F-A-Y-S-S-O-U-X. It's the coolest name.
Okay.
Fassou. She was married to John Starling, who is the lead singer of the Seldom Scene, which is a famous bluegrass band from Washington, D.C. And because Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt were big fans of the Seldom Scene in the early days, early 70s, Fassou got to know Emmylou really well. And Emmylou had her sing background on her first like seven albums all through the 70s and the 80s. So Fassou's actually rubbed shoulders with a lot of cool people, but she divorced with John Starling. She remarried and is back in Spartanburg. And she just plays around Spartanburg, and she's probably, you know, she's probably 70 years old. She's incredible, beautiful, incredible voice. And so she's coming. I'm really excited about her. And then we got some young folks. Sean Kelly, one of the Kelly brothers, who's in A Fragile Tomorrow, that band.
Mm-hmm.
Sean reached out. He's got a solo record, and he's just been very nice to say that he's a Blue Dogs fan. So we're going to bring him in to do something. And then Mitchell Lee, who went to the Citadel and wrote a song called The Long Gray Line, but he was on The Voice a couple of years ago.
Wow.
And he's in Nashville. He's a great writer, great voice. So he's going to sing a couple of his songs. And there's actually three others that we know are coming that didn't make the announcement, but they're going to come. So we're just going to
And special guests quiet. To be determined. So that means you have right. to show up and you got to see it, folks, to see what happens. Right. And why do I feel like at any moment I could say, hey, guys, could y'all play maybe Uncle Penn or Old Home Place and just drop a bluegrass tune? And I have a feeling that you guys could.
Yeah.
I know Hank could on the stand up
there. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, absolutely. So. Well, you know, having Jerry Douglas, that's where I learned it. I learned it from J.D. Crow, the band that he played with when he was, God, 16, 17 years old, I think.
1975, that album came out. J.D. Crow in the New South, and Jerry Douglas played dobro on it.
Wow.
Ricky Skaggs was the mandolin player. And Tony Rice was the guitar player.
Those guys did okay.
They did all right,
They did all right,
Oh, yeah, and then there
come
was,
on,
I think,
there,
they, yeah,
they
you're right.
job in town.
Oh yeah. That's called a sound check, folks. And was awesome. All home plays. Bobby Houck, Dan Hood, and Hank Butch with the Blue Dogs. Man, that's a good time right there, guys.
I was actually out of tune. I had to drop it.
Thank you for the impromptu. I wasn't even planning on that, but thank you for the impromptu request. I love that stuff, man. Awesome. How much improvisation goes on at that show at the music hall? I mean, I know you got set lists and certain songs you're rehearsing with certain artists, but how much stuff happens on the fly a little bit?
Normally with our live shows, there's a lot of, we don't like do a set list and we kind of figure out what we're going to play right as we're done with one song. But this is very orchestrated. We know exactly, there's actually a lot, we got a great crew behind the scenes, Ford and Rob Lamble, our promoter, and Wayne Slagle, and we have just kind of a crew back there. But there's one guy that's all he does is, I think that's Ford. Ford is nice enough to, herding cats. Like he's looking at the set list and he's going, okay, whoever's next,
Nashville cats.
Whoever's next, he'll grab them and make sure they're out there. And then first couple of years, the show went on forever and ever. Like we, went past what the hotel next door wanted us to do. And the whole idea, and maybe the second year we went on so long that people like actually had to give up. Because the audience was like, okay, this is it's about 12:45. So we've been here since 8. So there's is a point of diminishing returns. But anyway, so now we get it really tight. We make sure there's not a lot of time between songs. And there's also a part of it that's for the, it's fairly orchestrated in the sense that we have an MC and.
You got a horn section?
We do have a horn section. Yeah, we got Charlton Singleton and Steve Spaulding from Squeeze Box. But of course, Charlton with Ranky Tanky now.
Yeah.
Steve plays all over town and teaches child.
Keeping it local, Charlton Singleton, that's Wando High School graduate, right. Singleton. Yeah.
And Steve Spaulding has taught more kids how to play the trombone in Charleston. I don't know. He's probably had thousands of students at this point. Yeah. And then we'll have
great
sax
group
too.
With a great name.
Right.
The Charleston Horn Dog.
The Low Country
Charleston Horn Dogs.
I asked them if anybody had dibs on the Low Country Horns, and they said no, they weren't aware of anybody that called them. So we were calling them the Low Country Horns, and then we were like, "Who's old Horn Dog?"
Who doesn't love a good Horn Dog?
This is for children's cancer. We're all just overgrown boys.
right.
That's all we are. Playing music, talking on the radio, but raising money for a good cause. Okay, so remind everybody, where can they get tickets for this show?
Well, you can go to charlestonmusichall.com. If you go to the Blue Dogs website, it'll lead you there. But ultimately, charlestonmusichall.com and grab them directly from there. In fact, we encourage people to not go to these other ticket sites or whatever, mm-hmm. StubHub or all these other ones, because, I'm not saying every company is using bad practices, but I know the music halls had a fair amount of trouble with that, where what happens is these third-party companies buy up the tickets, they get the computer bots, they go get the tickets, then they sell them for higher price, for higher prices and that kind of thing.
So we'll put a link on our website, too, at 1055thebridge.com, so people can get tickets that way direct as well. But
make sure you're going to the Charleston Music Hall. I mean, if you need to, call them. Call the Charleston Music Hall. You can order them over the phone, but, you ought to be able to know when you're on the Charleston Music Hall website.
Absolutely.
As opposed to when you're on one of these other ones.
All right, so I'm going to have you guys, play us another tune here from. So we got Hank Futch, Bobby Houck, and Dan Hood from the Blue Dogs. The show is Sunday, December 29th at the Charleston Music Hall. Their 7th annual concert for children's cancer in the MUSC Children's Hospital on their 31st anniversary as a band. So I'm going to back up from the mic and let these guys take it over. Here's the Blue Dogs.
We're talking about the 96 Wave days, so they were kind to play this song. What's that? All right, here we go. A barefoot Mona Lisa.
Lisa. She's got diesel in her hair. And she was looking for a man who could understand where she wants to be and he'll hold her. She took all the money her folks gave her for a senior cruise. She was hoping to find someone with the time. Help her lose all these don'ts and do's. What's in a while, Isabel? Tell me the story you love so well. Only you can tell with your smile. But in your eyes, it's hard to tell. It's a heaven or a hell. Could you love me, Isabel? She's got a mind of her own. She can give you the time, but she can leave you behind. You look around and she'd be gone. She lost her soul in a phone booth trying to make a call. It's just the promises made and the hopes betrayed. They all fade away like the numbers on the wall. Once in a while, Isabel, tell me the story you love so well. That only you can tell with your smile. In your eyes it's hard to tell if it's a heaven or if it's a hell. Could you love me, Isabel, once in a while?
It's so good to reconnect with you guys, man. Y'all sounding as good as ever, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bobby Houck, Dan Hood, Hank Futch, the Blue Dogs, 7th annual charity concert for the MUSC Children's Hospital, and 31st anniversary of these guys and the Blue Dogs at the Charleston Music Hall Sunday, December the 29th. And this is why I got back in radio for stuff like this.
Thank goodness.
And this is why you guys still do what you do for stuff like this. Yeah. So thank you all so much for coming up here.
Oh, man. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us, brother.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing you all in 2020.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you all for everything.
Appreciate everything, Richard. See you soon.